Would you join me in Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12 this evening. Recently, much of the world has been impressed by the courage and determination of the Ukrainian people. I know that's not something that is surprising to any of you in this room if you've seen any news at all over the past week. It has been all over. And as I've thought about what is going on there in those people, they've been faced with a nearly impossible task, confronted by an enemy with greater numbers and resources, and yet they've withstood the barrage for a week now. Even their president has put many other world leaders to shame by staying and standing with his people. And while what is happening is sad to see, the heart and spirit of those people is an inspiration. It's also been inspiring to see and hear of missionaries who are finding ways to serve those people during this time. They are serving within Ukraine, many of them. Some are serving from nearby nations, taking in refugees and ministering to them as they are fleeing. Some have been putting themselves in harm's way. I've already heard numerous reports of persecution that has been faced. But their courage and determination to serve the Lord, their heart for Christ, is inspiring. I see the same courage, determination, and heart in them that I want to see in myself. It's the courage and determination and heart that Paul imagined as he penned these simple words in Romans 12, verse 11. Notice what he says here. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. A short verse, simple words. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This exhortation, which is connected with our transformation, speaks about an approach, an attitude, and activity in ministry. The challenge that he gives us here can be applied to any endeavor that we would undertake, but should certainly describe the way we minister to and for the Lord. I want you to think with me about this verse for a little while this evening as we consider it in relation to our transformation. Consider, first of all, our approach. He says at the beginning of the verse, not slothful in business. Now, when you and I see a statement like that, when we see the word business in particular, we immediately likely begin to imagine a business undertaking, a vocation, a business that we might try to start or be a part of. But that's not the idea of the verse here. This phrase is an interesting one, and it's difficult for us to pick up all of the nuances of it in our English language. The word slothful here, it literally means tardy, having or showing a disposition to avoid exertion. Have you ever known anyone like that? Someone who just seemed like they did not want to do anything strenuous or work in any way. Maybe you've had some children. Those of you perhaps who have had teenagers at this point in your life have some teenagers like that from time to time. It also carries the idea of laziness. It's derived from a word that means hesitation or to be slow. That's the word slothful. Then that word business, again, we might portray a vocation or a business that we're a part of or that we would start, but that's not the word here. The word business comes from a word that means speed or to urge on. It has the idea of diligently or earnestly. By implication, it means to await earnestly. And so our word denotes eagerness. It denotes earnestness. It denotes diligence. That phrase, put together, not slothful in business, very literally out of the original text, means or would be translated in the diligence, not slothful. That would be the literal translation from the original text. In the diligence, not slothful. And the thought is this: where zeal is needed, don't be lazy. Where you and I should express and have zeal, where we should exert energy and emotion, don't be lazy. Don't be hesitant. Paul is driving home in this thought that we should not be lazy or hesitant or procrastinating or slow about the things that we should have a zeal or an eagerness for. Have you ever found that you can have it to be slothful about the things you should have a zeal for, and that you have a zeal for things that would probably be okay to be slothful about? Are there times in your life where, as you approach different activities, different events, different disciplines, you really ought to have a zeal for that activity or that event or that discipline, and you don't? And something that would be okay to not have a zeal about, you're all fired up about. You're not alone in this. We all have tendencies like that in one form or another. We can all tend to be zealous about the things that are less important and slothful about the things that are more important. It's a battle that we fight within our human nature. I read a Facebook post just today by a known pastor and theologian, and he began the post by saying that there was something he needed to confess, something that was embarrassing and humbling, but yet he was willing to make the confession publicly. Again, this is a known pastor and theologian. And he went on and said this. This is his confession: I'm not always excited about reading and studying the Bible. Just an honest confession from a known pastor and theologian. I'm not always excited about reading and studying the Bible. Does that sound familiar with you? Is that something that you ever struggle with? Join the club. Do you ever find yourself slothful in prayer, slothful in Bible reading and study, slothful in ministry for the Lord, and yet you have a great zeal for sports? You have a great zeal for getting and spending money. You have a great zeal for entertainment of different forms. Wouldn't you agree with me that as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to have a great zeal for prayer, a great zeal for Bible reading and study, a great zeal for ministry to the Lord, and yet there are times where those are the things we're a little slothful in? And though I don't have any problem with sports, I love sports. I don't have any problem with making and spending money. I don't have any great problem with forms of entertainment. But isn't it true that those things that it would be okay for us to not be all that fired up about, we tend to be more fired up about those things than the disciplines of the Christian life? I think there's a problem with that. To not be slothful in business is a tendency of our human nature that we have to battle, because we tend to be slothful about things that we need to have a zeal about. And what Paul says here in this text, as we think of approaching ministry for the Lord, we need to have a zeal and not be lazy. We need to have a zeal and not be hesitant. We need to have a zeal and not be slow. We need to have a zeal and not procrastinate. Notice, secondly, not only our approach, notice our attitude. Rather than being slothful in business, we are to be what? Notice the next phrase of the verse. Fervent in spirit. The word fervent means to be hot. This word is typically used in a literal sense in classical Greek. For example, if you were boiling liquids, this word translated fervent here in our text is the word you would use. If you talk about a solid substance that is so hot, it's glowing. What phrase might we use for that? It's red hot. It's so hot that it's glowing. This is the word they would typically use, and that's the word that Paul uses here when he describes, look, you shouldn't be lazy, but should have a zeal about some things. He says, you ought to be hot, you ought to be boiling hot in your spirit for some things. Paul knew what it was to be this way. He was the penman used by the Lord to give this exhortation, and he knew what it was to be fervent in spirit. Even prior to his salvation, the Bible tells us that Saul was fervent in his work to exterminate Christianity. The Bible says of Saul in Acts 8 verse 3, he made havoc of the church. He wrote of himself in Timothy, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You read the New Testament. There are not many others, if any, that are penned about in the New Testament who were more fervent about exterminating Christianity than the one we know of is the Apostle Paul. He was fervent about that, but you know what? After coming to faith in Christ, his fervency did not end. It was simply redirected. In Acts chapter 17, Paul's spirit, the Bible tells us, was stirred up in him when he saw the needs of the Athenian people. He was there in Athens waiting for God's direction about what to do next. And as he saw what was going on in Athens, friends, pay attention to that. When he saw what was going on in the world around him, he was stirred in his spirit about their need for Jesus Christ. And he got busy sharing Christ with them. He was one who knew what it was to be fervent. Throughout Paul's epistles, we read of his unwavering commitment to the ministry that God called him to. God called him to share Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He did that work unwaveringly. He did that work fervently throughout his life, eventually giving his life for that cause. We read this about another early Christian in Acts 18, 24 and 25. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, speaking of Jesus, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He was stirred up in his spirit. He was fervent in his spirit, and that led to him diligently teaching the way of the Lord. Have you ever seen someone fired up over something? Fire for the Lord. I mean, you get around them and it just comes out of them. They have this passion, they have this zeal for the Lord and for the work of the Lord. When they talk about prayer, you know they mean it. When they say something like, I'm going to pray for you, you know they're going to get busy praying for you. When they share the Word of God, it comes across not as some just trite or cliche statement. It comes across with sincere and genuine heart because they have demonstrated this fervency and spirit for the Lord Jesus Christ Friends, can I share with you this evening, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever your particular personality is, there are things that we should get inspired by and get excited about. You might say this evening, well, Pastor, that's not really my personality. That's not really my character. I don't have that kind of a trait. Friends, I don't care who you are, where you are, or what your personality is. There are some things that should inspire and excite you. There are things that inspire our courage and determination. Things that excite our motivation and activity. And if we can't get fervent, if we can't get zealous, if we can't get excited about the things of the Lord, then we need to reflect on our attitude. Would you notice not only our approach, not soft on business, we shouldn't be lazy about things that we ought to be zealous about, but rather we need to be fervent in spirit. We need to be fired up. Would you notice, thirdly, our activity? Here's the activity. Here's the business that we should not be slothful about. The activity that we should be fervent in our spirit about is what? Look at the last phrase. Serving the Lord. Oh, don't be slothful in business. Don't be lazy about things you ought to have a zeal about. Have zeal. Don't be lazy. Be fervent in the spirit. Be fired up. About what? Serving the Lord. The word serving comes from that word doulos. That word that means to be a slave too. And that can be involuntary or voluntary. You could have been in that day a doulos, and it was not of your choice. It was not of your desire, not of your will, not of your decision. Or it could have been. What is it in relation to the Lord? Clearly, from what we have seen in Romans 12 and what we see elsewhere in Scriptures, God will not force us as a taskmaster to serve Him. Friends, God's not going to come into your life as a taskmaster and drive you kicking and screaming all the way to serve Him. He's not going to do that. Oh, He will motivate. He'll challenge you. He'll convict you. He'll correct you. But He'll not force. Ours is to be a voluntary slavery. Ours is to be a voluntary service. It is the result of what Paul called us to back in verse 1 of Romans 12. Do you remember what he called us to? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. Remember what that is. What Paul is calling us to in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 is to bring our lives. He doesn't call us to come to the altar and die there for Jesus. He calls us to come to the altar and live there for Jesus. Your life is to be a life lived on the altar of surrender and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be voluntary in our slavery, voluntary in our service to the Lord, placing ourselves on the altar and living there before and for the Lord permanently. As we think about this service as it's spoken of in the Scriptures, there are several characteristics of it that we note. It requires a commitment to Him that is second to none and that makes Him second to none. Matthew 6:24, notice what it says. Familiar text. Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount said, "No man can serve two masters." That's that word doulos. You can't be a slave either involuntarily or voluntarily to two different masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And by the way, take mammon out of that verse and put anything else in its place and it still rings true. You cannot serve God the way that God desires you to serve Him. You can't serve God in a not slothful in spirit, in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord kind of way, and be engaged elsewhere. You've heard the term moonlighting? There's no moonlighting in God's service. It's a commitment to Him that is second to none and makes Him second to none. You cannot serve two masters. Look at Romans 16, 17, and 18. There's another characteristic of this service we pick up here. You cannot be committed as you should be to the Savior and at the same time be committed to self. Romans 16, 17, and 18, Paul writes this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." What's Paul saying to us? You can't serve the Savior and serve yourself. You can't be committed to the Savior and committed to self at the same time. You can't be looking to the Lord and looking out for self at the same time. The service that He commands, the service that He asks of us, is a selfless service to the Savior. Jesus nowhere taught, oh, just be true to yourself. Just look out for yourself. Just put yourself first. Just take care of you, and then you can take care of others. No, Jesus said, if any man come not after me and deny himself, he can't be my disciple. I was in our children's doctor's office a few weeks back, and they were posting on the TVs in there some quotable quotes from known individuals. And my doctor's office is a Christian doctor's office, and so a lot of the quotes are from known Christian people. And a known Christian author, they put a quote up there, said something along these lines: the best gift you can give to your family, the best gift you can give to yourself, the best gift you can give to the world around you is a healthy you. And I thought, that is a bunch of garbage. Friends, the Bible calls upon us. We can't serve the Savior and ourselves. Now, I'm not against being healthy, okay? Don't take that wrong. But the point is, we get our priorities mixed up, don't we? Our priority is service to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're involved in causing division, Paul says specifically in this context, among the church, you're not serving the Lord, you're serving yourself. Notice thirdly, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, another characteristic of the service that the Lord demands of us. Our service should always be done as to the Lord and not to man. Ephesians 6, 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Friends, can I remind you of something this evening? You need to be singular in your mind and devotion. You cannot at the same time be committed to pleasing the Lord and committed to pleasing man. In fact, if you are truly committed to pleasing the Lord, you better just mark it down. There are going to be times you're not going to please man. It's going to happen. If you're absolutely dedicated to pleasing Christ, there are going to be times that people in your life are not going to be thrilled about it. But if you're singularly devoted to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that won't bother you a whole lot. And finally, I want you to see 1 Thessalonians 1:9. I think this is one that we can really get stuck up on. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:9. He says this, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." Notice, "and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Paul says this, one of the marks of the salvation and sanctification of the Christians at Thessalonica was that they began serving the Lord rather than serving idols. Is this mark present in your life? You say, "Pastor, I don't bow down to, serve, and worship graven man-made images. Okay, can I ask you to reevaluate this evening? Do you worship the almighty dollar? Do you worship America? Do you worship some political person as savior? Do you worship your possessions? Do you worship some experience or type of experiences in this world? Do you worship your possessions? No, you and I may not bow down to graven man-made images. The reality is our idolatry is more subtle. Our idolatry is more philosophical. Our idolatry is more deceptive. Yet it is idolatry nonetheless. When we put those things before God, when those things and things like them become priority over serving the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking Him, His kingdom, and His righteousness, what did He say? Not second. He didn't say, make sure your needs are met first and then seek Me, My kingdom, and My righteousness, did He? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be taken care of. He'll take care of it. But in your heart and mine, in your mind and mine, so often those other things take priority over God. So many times those things consume my thoughts more than God does. So many times those things consume my time and my energy and my effort and my very existence more than God does. Is that not idolatry? You turned from your idols to serve the living and true God. God, help us to respond to Him, to right our priorities, and to yield to His Holy Spirit as He works in our hearts to transform us into the image of Jesus. Our approach, not slothful in business. Our attitude, fervent in spirit. Our activity, serving the Lord. Can I speak to those who may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You must be fervent about eternity. It's not a decision to put off or a risk you should take. I know there's so much going on in the world today, and you may feel like eternity is not something to give thought to right now. Friend, there is nothing more important or deserving of your time and thought right now than eternity. Jesus offers you the salvation He secured. Believe on Him and be saved. And to those of us who know Christ, today, perhaps more so than at any point during my lifetime, there are challenges to rightly giving ourselves to serving the Lord. We look at what is going on in the world around us, like Paul did when he was in Athens. We look at the craziness and the chaos, the circumstances that affect us directly and indirectly, the fears, the anxieties, the worries that we carry with us day by day, the anxieties and fears and worries that are created or that are fed as we watch the news or look at an article. Perhaps more than any other time during my lifetime, there are challenges to rightly serving the Lord. And perhaps more so than at any other point during my lifetime, we need a challenge to reset our priorities and a determination to put this exhortation into practice. Examine your life. Could you say this evening, could you put an I am in front of that verse? I am not slothful in business. I am fervent in spirit. I am serving the Lord. Could you say that tonight? If not, it may be time to hit the reset button on your priorities. I know there are a lot of challenges, but we have a God that is bigger than any challenge we face. Let's determine to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. serving the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for its truth and how it speaks to us. I pray tonight that you would help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to respond in obedience to you. We've been challenged. Perhaps we've received some correction. I pray that you would help us to respond obediently, however you have worked in our hearts. And Lord, if there is someone gathered here watching online who does not know the Lord Jesus, I pray that you would draw them to Christ. In Jesus' name.